Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
Who are you?
We have been sent by the Oak Stewards of Seven Arches.
She looks over at the bodies. I wish that you had come sooner.
The heroes sifted through the carnage.
But then seeing that there's just stillness, like nothing is moving, she slowly signals behind her and walks into the room.
You walk into the room. That stench is now overpowering.
And freed the weary survivors of the gnome slaughter.
Please, before you flee, could we ask any information you could give us about Bolan or his lieutenants? Any information that could help us?
Where we might find him holed up within...
He has been using us as some test subjects.
One battered gnome provided a clue to the dark druid's plans.
I did hear him say something about a unicorn trying to overcome the natural defenses of the unicorn.
I have a theory. I think that he's trying to adapt the natural poison resistances of the unicorn so that he can use some sort of poison to kill everyone else except his people.
It is extremely interesting.
And led the heroes into a life-and-death encounter with the dark druid himself.
Who dares to enter my domain? You are interlopers here.
The adventure continues.
This is awful. Curse this inevitable conclusion of this narrative.
Now.
In Astoria, Queens, Joe's cooking scrapple and collard beans. Do you like, we found this out right before we started recording, that Joe likes scrapple, which is a Philadelphia trash food. And we're...
That's not true. It's all Pennsylvania.
It's true. It's all Pennsylvania.
And Jersey. You can scrapple at your local grocer.
My local grocer.
Martha and I especially marveled at this because not only is it just disgusting, but we're shocked that Joe would eat it because it is, it's so gross and so complex in its grossness, but yet we go to restaurants with Joe and be like, what is this capers thing? You know, like literally everything on the menu is like, what's that? Like there'll be a word he doesn't know. What is that? Like I would just order it. But you eat, this is what is scrapple? It's like pig feet and ears and shit.
It's the grinded up scraps after you finish getting every piece of the pig that you use to make, you know, bacon or pork shoulders or, you know, all of the ham, all the prime cuts are out. And on the floor of the meat factory, they sweep it into a corner and then they just put it through some processing, add about 500 or 600 pounds of salt, and then they just stuff it into bricks that are just these like vaguely beige bricks.
So gross.
And it is fantastic.
How did it's such an old man food.
It's not an old.
How did you get?
It's just sausage.
Was it your great great grandfather?
It's not sausage.
It's not sausage.
It's mixed with cornmeal too, and like wheat flour, and it doesn't have an intestine casing. So
whoa, I looked up. I suggest everyone looks up a photo of what scrapple
looks
like. Don't do it.
Like. I'm looking
sad.
And I regret it.
This is like a poor man's pate. What is it?
It says it's an ethnic food of the Pennsylvania
the hell
Dutch.
Is pate?
I mean, listen, if you like scrapple.
Talk down to me.
Fagua.
Listen, bless you.
I don't feel quite as judgmental about Troy as scrapple. I mean, like, it grosses me out, but like, to each their own. It's just like the I just can't believe that like the complete, like, utter bewilderment you experience when you look at any food that isn't like white or yellow.
Joe has the same dietary habits as like a stevedore from the 1920s. Anything that person would eat, like unloading ships, that's what Joe would eat.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, you eat this. But was it given to you as a child? Yeah. Like, here, eat this or we'll hit you.
It's just, yeah, that was it. Thus the stevedore upbringing, yeah.
The Irish way.
No, I mean, I remember growing up. I remember my it's all learned.
Right.
Like, because I ate scrapple when I was a kid. And my dad just reinforced to me over and over and over when I was a kid that
this is what men eat.
Every cuisine that wasn't Irish based was disgusting. And mayonnaise is disgusting. So I didn't eat mayonnaise until I was like 3 years into college or something. And I had a sandwich with mayonnaise on it. And I was like, this is fantastic. I was always like, oh,
how did
it's
you
like,
eat
it's
tuna
just,
growing up?
What's that?
How did you eat tuna growing up?
Well, there was apparently a little bit of mayo in there.
Yeah
snuck by. But in terms of just like spreading mayo on a sandwich, my dad would be like, that's like putting curdled milk on a sandwich. And he tells you this when you're 5 years old, you think like,
that is,
you
know, not like, what I'll, that's like
I'll never all. I'll never eat it. But scrapple is freaking fantastic. You've never had about, scrapple?
No, I've watched old men eat it.
If I cooked you up a slice of scrapple and you had a little bit of eggs, you would be like, this is delicious.
I'm sure with the salt content alone, there would be a flavorful taste to it, but knowing what's in it, I can't.
What about,
you do, hot dogs.
Yeah, I was
eating, but I eat like organic, uncured, all beef franks.
Do you ever eat at a McDonald's?
What is that?
Oh my God.
I mean, the pink slime.
He only eats foie gras.
I go to a French McDonald's
pate.
When I want
the pink slime is
I fly to Paris.
You don't fly to Paris every time you want to eat fast food?
I think this is a cultural food thing that I might have been poo-pooing at first, but looking at photos, I would quite like
McDonald's?
A scrapple sandwich.
Ew.
Scrapple sandwich is out of this world.
Sydney, listen. It looks like someone cooked a mitten and shoved it in
like
a
it's probably
casserole
good.
Dish.
Like, pork bits aren't bad or anything.
Pork
it's
rind.
Just the way that it looks in all these images. Yeah. They just make it look as sad as they can.
But I think of other cultural breakfasts, like a traditional Japanese cultural breakfast where it's like, you know, fermented vegetables and like raw fish. And to somebody else, they might be like, that is disgusting. I don't want to eat that.
No, that's because it is disgusting.
And they might look at your scrapple and be like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's an abomination.
To me, both would taste delicious.
Well,
I would try scrapple.
It's possible that we are being slightly racist towards the Mennonites and the Amish by saying their cuisine is gross.
I don't think the Amish
So, Matthew,
scrapple.
I think you should tone it down a notch before we get phone calls and emails
I'm
from the Amish.
Anti-Mennonite politics has no place here.
I'm still hung up on the fact that you didn't eat mayo. I know plenty of people who mayo grosses them out. I think that's fair. I like mayo. Dude, but you're like, you just didn't engage.
My food journey is preposterous.
It is.
My college roommates had to tell me that, like, just try it regarding Taco Bell.
Oh my God.
When was the first time you had?
I've never been to a Taco Bell.
Time you've been to a Taco Bell?
When I was in college. I was like a sophomore in college and I was like,
I have never been.
This is going to be a problem.
You haven't? My first time was this year.
Wow! Did you like it?
I had a Crunchwrap Supreme, and I was like, "This is it."
Yes.
Wow.
What did you?
I found it.
What did you order when you went?
6 soft tacos.
Can you like no
you're
cheese?
Just
college.
In case one.
Yeah, me and all my buddies go, and everybody be like 6 pack, and like everybody got 6 tacos. Looking back, it seems preposterous.
That is hilarious.
But yeah, we would eat them all. There'd be no leftovers.
Do you guys have a certain food that you eat on Christmas Day? Like, for example, for the past 5 years or so, I've been making Gordon Ramsay's
beef Wellington.
Christmas beef Wellington. And I've got it down to a science. And it's become like a bit of a tradition. The whole making of it is like part of the day now. But
how's
that's
your,
only like five
how's
years.
How's your duck sale, bro?
Botox sounds pretty all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to sweat those mushrooms.
Yeah, sweat them out.
Got to wait them out.
Sweat those shrooms.
What kind of, are we trying like a tiny dice, or you do a multi, you do a rough chop to get a different a variance in texture?
I do a rough chop, but then I got to put it in a food processor, so it's getting all chopped down anyway.
Oh, you take the.
Yeah, because it takes forever to get the liquid out of the mushrooms. You really got to wait. That's the thing. You don't want your duck's fell to be moist. Otherwise, it'll make the puff pastry moist. You'll get what's called a soggy bottom skid. Trust me, you do not want that in your beef Wellington. Do you guys have a Christmas traditional food?
I have in recent years, and I can thank you for it. I now do Mississippi pot roast every Christmas. And the reason is because I apparently like Christmas more than you do.
That is poor people's Christmas food.
No, that is set it and forget it Christmas
that
food.
That is true.
So that you can do other shit on Christmas, not cook for 7 hours.
I did have one recently, and I was like, this is pretty good. This is like a once a year kind of food, though.
But it is poor people's food. But I mean, so is pot roast, such as Mississippi pot roast.
True.
But yeah, I love
it's
it.
A cheap
it's
cut
so
of meat
easy. Just get up. Christmas morning. Yeah. You're doing the Christmas morning thing. You're like, let me just dip in here for literally 3 minutes. Little butter, a couple of packets of salt.
That's what
packets of salt. You're right back opening gifts.
Do you have salt by the packet in your house?
Are
you a caterer? Why do you have packets of salt?
I think he's making a joke about the ranch seasoning.
Yeah. I'm saying ranch seasoning and au jus are very fun ways to just say salt and more salt.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's delicious and easy, and then it cooks itself. And then Christmas dinner, you're just like, you're still in your PJs. You didn't have to do anything all day.
You guys do cinnamon buns in the morning?
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta do orange cinnamon buns or regular?
Well, you know, we were just doing Pillsbury like cinnamon buns, but now we do Trader Joe's.
I was going to say Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Oh my
they're
God.
Like cheeseburgers.
Pillsbury
they're like Big Macs.
New flavors, though. They have pumpkin ones. They have hot chocolate ones. Mm. We spent enough time on you. Matthew, do you have a Christmas dish that you like?
We do. There's like a
Feast of the Seven Matthews.
We used to, my Italian side used to do the Feast of the Seven Fishes on Christmas Eve, and that was amazing.
I bet.
It's a lot of work, and my grandmother eventually was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
I always wanted to be Italian because of it.
It's so good. On Christmas morning, we'll do, there's a coffee cake recipe that has been passed down in my family.
Like
sour cream coffee cake that is,
ooh.
And my dad took over the making of the coffee cake from my grandmother. He decided to double the goo, as he likes to say.
Ooh.
You do the extra crumb filling. Yeah, it's
double the goo.
Double the goo.
That shocked and frightened.
It made a lot of sense, though. I liked it.
Double the goo.
It.
Like
it's
saying.
And then usually for dinner, actually, of late, we've been doing a mushroom Wellington for me and Caitlin.
There you go.
So you get
you're making it yourself.
My father, the trained chef, makes our
he makes it. And is he like just looking at you like, can't put meat in this, you no son of mine, the whole time he's making it?
No, because he also makes beef.
Every time you happen to glance from the family gathering out into the kitchen, he's just looking at you while he's working the
slicing
knife.
Or
he's sliding some meat in there when you're not I don't want him to get sick.
He puts the meat in the food processor, so it's real small.
Just sprinkle some over the juice. Ground beef.
The mushrooms are cheaper than the beef, so I think in the end, he's actually very happy about it.
I don't want. He needs to get his iron. Look at him. He's spindly. Kate, what do you do at your goth Christmas?
I mean, it's not wrong, though. I don't have, like, traditions in that way, especially with food. But one thing I do is when there's holidays like this, I like to use it as an excuse to just have a lot of cheese. So I'm always making, like, a charcuterie board. And I have, like, this gifted, very long, big charcuterie board.
Yeah. Nice.
And I just, like, buy lots of different things and just spend probably a couple hours just like, where am I going to put everything? And just take all my anxieties on that. And sometimes I'll use it as an excuse to bake a pie.
Because
that's fun. But I'm not really
a
chef. It's a pen, like apple. I don't know. I don't like cooking. I like get sick of it. Michael is the cook in our house.
But you like to bake a pie here and there.
Sometimes. I like it halfway through. And then I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Not doing it.
And then everyone's left with a half-cooked raw pie.
Which is why I'm in charge of charcuterie.
Yeah.
And then Michael cooks everything
it's
else.
It's like a fire in the kitchen. Like,
I'm done.
That's literally what happens, though, especially on Thanksgiving. Michael cooks the entire meal. And I make charcuterie in the morning for breakfast.
That's called teamwork.
Ooh,
yeah.
Where I come from.
Respect. Breakfast charcuterie.
Breakfast charcuterie. Respect.
A little breakfast coot. Do you double the goo, Sydney?
What just happened?
I always do.
Let's just let it go.
Well, breakfast coot while you double the goo.
I always double the goo.
Too much goo.
Not enough goo.
What's going on? Buns?
Stop saying coot.
The breakfast coot while we double the goo.
Buns?
Gather round.
Coot, goo, buns? I switch it up for dinner because I don't do Christmas Day a lot with my family because everybody's kind of spread out. So being in the city.
And you're all estranged and hate each other.
Yeah, and we would fight.
So you hang out with your Satan friends?
No. Some of them live in Florida. Some live in New York. So everybody's like too far away unless we plan it. But the same tradition that I do every morning is Christmas cookies left over because we have all of my grandmother's Christmas cookie recipes. So we do a butter cookie with buttercream frosting. Mm. I do a sour cream crescent cookie that's like dipped in chocolate on both sides.
There we go.
And we do an anisette cookie and then the thumbprint cookies with like a Hershey's Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like classic traditional Christmas cookies that are my grandma's recipe.
What was the second to last? I've never heard of that.
Anisette cookies. It's like anise.
I think it's anisette.
Anus?
I think it's anisette.
Nope.
It's not the pronunciation that scares me.
Anisette? Am I saying that right?
Anisette
cookies?
I just like to say
anisette cookies.
Yeah.
He's just messing with you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's an Italian thing.
He's trying to find an excuse to say anus.
Anus.
Yep. On the air.
Get it out of your system now.
It is.
But that with coffee in the morning is the thing that stays the same. And then for dinner or lunch, I'll switch it up. But I do really like cooking. So normally it'll be like a new recipe. I'll try something out.
Well, I'm excited to try some of your cookies.
I'll bring some in when I make them.
Please.
They are really, really good.
Please.
I don't want to hype them up too much, but they're really good.
That sounds like you're hyping them up. I'm excited. I'm a big cookie guy.
Do you like buttercream? Like, do you like the frosted traditional buttercream Christmas cookies?
Is it in the shape of something Christmassy?
Oh, of course.
And that's all I care about. It could taste like shit as long as it evokes the feelings of Christmas.
Style over substance with Troy O'Valley.
That's our next podcast. Skid, do you have a...
Style over substance.
The Toronto Valley Show. Do you have a Christmas go-to Christmas meal?
I'm going to try a new tradition this year.
Here we go.
We're going to a pint of mezcal and a couple of Ambien. See what the deep is.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Because by the time they call it December a sleepy 25th time Christmas actually rolls around... I'm not going to want to experience it.
That's not true. There's going to be so much
time.
There's
going to be a nice gap in between. Yeah.
There's going to be so much time between now and Christmas, you'll get back in the spirit, except for when
not going to mention it at all in the interim.
I won't mention it on the show.
But in our lives.
I can't help it. When you log on to a show to record with me, I'll be listening to music in the background.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling.
Oh, I'm already in the zone. All right, so mezcal and Ambien. That's the kind of treat you can enjoy all year round. Let's stick around and see what happens to our heroes. Will this be their last Christmas?
Oh.
What's up, Nash? If you all are not using NordVPN to increase your privacy while connected to public Wi-Fi, then what are we even doing here? For months, I have been singing the praises of NordVPN, and I recommend that you try it out using our code so you can get a sweet, sweet deal and take advantage of their money-back guarantee so you can try it out with no risk. If you have ever been the victim of identity theft, as I have, or if you haven't yet and you want to make sure it never happens to you because it stinks, NordVPN is the app that I recommend to safely protect yourself when you're using the internet away from home. The app could not be easier to download or navigate. And in less than 3 seconds, no exaggeration, I can open it, click a button, and it changes my virtual location and scrambles any attempts to hack into my important info, like passwords or banking information. There's the security part of NordVPN, which is huge for me, obviously, but there's also these small advantages that you get to capitalize on by changing your virtual location. Like, did you know that airlines and hotels often have automated systems that change pricing based on your location? If you use NordVPN, you can manipulate the system in your favor and maybe save some money on flights or hotels while traveling. I mean, right there, the app pays for itself. And it won't take much either to do that because it probably costs me a cup of coffee a month. So for peace of mind alone, you cannot beat it. To grab our huge discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/GCP. Our code will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the episode description box.
I don't know if you guys are like me, but I am getting to the point in my life as I get older where I legitimately have to make a choice some nights when you're about to have a few drinks to be like, do I either have a few drinks and a great time or have a great morning? And you can't have both, it seems.
I'm nothing like you, old man.
I know.
I'll never be like you.
I'll never be like you. I feel so old. And then I look across at Skid and I think,
I feel way better.
I've got so much time. No, it's true. I do start to, I'm starting to feel like anytime I have drinks, just a few drinks at night, it really impacts my day the next day. And I can't wake up the way that I normally do and do what I normally want to do. And that is... until we found ZBiotics.
Yeah,
which is real. Phenomenal and yeah. has been a wonderful sponsor of the show. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists, Matthew, to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It is this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough morning. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Matthew, this, when you first had it, blew your mind.
I will admit, I was a skeptic.
But the way that they lay it out here, you can see the steps that you take. They identify the actual problem and came up with a solution for it. And when I have tried it, going to Philly, when we went to Philly for the live show.
We cheers with them before the party.
Yeah. We cheers with them before our company Christmas party.
Yeah.
It was our first drink of the night and then a few drinks. And the next day, I was gaming all day at PAX Unplugged with my kids.
Shocker.
Was not a problem at all. Like, had none of my usual tiredness and stuff like that. So it was fantastic.
I am honestly amazed. Like, we don't do a lot of these as a group, but I mean, I think we all like genuinely feel strongly about the efficiency, the effectiveness of this product. We really love it. So,
yeah. I highly recommend you check it out. Go to zbiotics.com/GCP to get 15% off your first order when you use code GCP at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/GCP and use code GCP at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for being the best sponsor this episode could ever ask for. And thanks for all the good times.
Send us more.
Please send us more. It's amazing.
If you ever go public, I'm going to buy all of your stock.
All of it.
Liquefy it. Drink it. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Demiplane, Foundry VTT, and Norse Foundry. We've been featuring all of them as of late. Skid, Norse
Foundry. All your random number generating needs, that's Norse Foundry.
Yep. Beautiful. And by the time Christmas comes around, we may actually have the dice we've been talking about.
And they saved our ass last time, by the way, Norse Foundry, with that damage roll that I got.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yes.
I take no credit. All the credit goes to Norse Foundry, and they're incredibly rare. Instance of a useful role.
randomly generated.
This was pretty hairy. So you started out last week by going into the room with all of these gnome corpses, and you find out that some of the gnomes are still alive. These are the Greenleaf gnomes that were quote unquote displaced, because that's what Corimona thought when you captured her after breaking up the unicorn sacrifice ritual. It's clear that they weren't just displaced. They were being used as experiments, as what would you call them? Lab rats for some poison that Bolan is making, something to do with subduing the unicorn for this ritual. Buggles thinks maybe this is part of what they're going to do to bring back this curse, kill everybody, create a poison that will affect, if it could affect a unicorn who's immune to poison, then maybe it could affect a larger population. Either way, you free Parva and the remaining Greenleaf gnomes. They flee to the Eternal Grove, where they will meet you one day. You then say, let's check out this door. Actually, all of you except Joe said, let's go to the north. And Joe said, hold on, I want to check out this door to the
west. My gut's telling me west.
You open the door. There's nothing of import in there except a trap. Luckily, you all safe, which was amazing, because that was a pretty nasty trap. And I was so psyched when you said, Let's check out the West doors. Yes! There's nothing a GM hates more than a trap that can't go.
Yeah,
off.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
What's the point? Then you go
an
to the north.
A triggered trap is like an unopened Christmas present.
There it is. See? Somebody's getting the spirit. You go to the door to the north, and you open it, and there is a living sunflower creature in there. Sunflower Lesh.
Not anymore!
And Bolan Nagasso. Bolan tells you you are trespassing on his domain. You are interlopers, and that the forest has chosen him to hold civilization accountable. That's why he was given powers, the powers of plant necromancy. The forest knows how special he is. The gate knew as well. And now you're going to find out. And then a fight ensues that had three of you at dying one / dying two within by round two.
By round two.
Yeah.
And then he ran away.
And then he ran away. After Sunward, his sunflower Leshy went down, he grabbed the zip line and swung down.
I've been thinking about this ever since last week, and I wish we could have foreseen it. I wish somehow we could have been like, this could be used by an enemy.
Well, I feel
and
our,
we should put like a giant bear trap I right at the bottom of the
one of our characters
thing.
Mentioned it again.
I think we did mention maybe cutting it, but we decided not to.
I said, what if I go around to that? And you said, do you want to climb upward on a zip line? And I said, I could do that. And you were like, no, that's stupid.
It is stupid. You would have come into this room by yourself.
We would have timed it, came at the same time.
Oh.
Chekhov's zip line.
Chekhov's zip line.
We saw it. We knew it was there.
That's what they call Chekhov's zip line.
If only we had just cut the zip line.
That would have been hilarious.
That would have been pretty
funny. I think we didn't because we thought we were going to use it.
Yeah, we thought maybe
it would be fun.
Yeah, we just thought we were going to use it. But if we would have had that foresight to be like, maybe we can trap this zip line. So we cut it just enough so that it looks like it works.
Oh, that would have been great.
And be like, just don't use it. If an enemy, but how
if only we were playing Blaze in the Dark, I could have just said flashback.
Exactly.
And done it.
Yeah, it would have been a tough role, but not impossible.
Can I retcon something?
Well, I mean, if anything, this gives you a brief respite. Now that he has lost his ally, he is fleeing. But you are in rough shape. Like, you are wounded two,
wounded
Brother Ramius. And then Lucky and Talitha are wounded one.
And unconscious.
And you're still unconscious.
Yep.
How are you still unconscious?
Because all I did was make my death throw, but then
he stabilized.
I say
he stabilized.
Okay, I gave you the wounded condition. You should also have the unconscious condition.
That's true.
I'll help you up.
Boom! Give you the unconscious.
You'll help me up.
There now you fall back down. Now everything you see is in gray.
Well, the bigger threat is that Kate is about to kill us all.
Oh
yes, Kate is confused for this round. Not Kate, but Zephyr.
Not me.
And as I said, as we were going off the air, I don't know if it made the show or not, but it made Joe laugh. And now Bolan is no longer a target for her.
Right. So now the random number generator for this includes only allies.
Yep.
So there's no good way. Yep. Good roll.
I hope you shoot me. I'm actually in the best position.
You have temporary.
I don't want to shoot you.
Got temporary HP.
Yeah.
I told Kate as we came in today, if she crits me, she steals my bottle cap, basically.
Oh, because you have to.
It will permanently kill me.
And I told him he needs to let other people around the table roll natural ones. He cannot be the only person allowed to do so.
Yeah. Sure, the Lord. Previously used to only be me, but now Kate's wedging in on my action.
Here's what I'm going to say. Talitha's still unconscious, so I'm not going to make you a target. But where you can see now Lucky, Buggles, and Brother Ramius, they are all targets.
I mean, I can only see a slither of Lucky. Like the slitheriest
Lucky has,
slither.
Just really
slither.
Great cover.
Yeah, and I'll give Lucky the cover if Lucky slither? Ends up being the...
Slither.
I can't even see Zephyr
slither.
On my map, if that makes any difference.
Yeah, actually, I think that might be incorrect. Because if I click on Lucky, I can't see Zephyr. So it's just Brother Ramius and Buggles. It's three attacks. 1, 2, 3, Ramius, 4, 5, 6, Buggles.
Just the first
end.
One's the big one.
Yeah, that's the important one.
End of round three, let's... Fucking go! Buggles, 4. So this is
first
the,
attack.
This is full attack bonus.
Highest map, no flurry
wait.
Blows.
Oh, sorry. No, wait. Yes.
What?
You get a save. Sorry. You get a save
at the top?
At the end of your last round. You get a save at the end of every round of confusion.
I don't want to re-roll this.
Nope.
Okay.
Well,
it's a good one.
What is it? So you
this is for the best.
So. You don't have your wits about you. You sure you get that save?
It's written in the fan fumble.
Oh, okay.
I should have saved that first time.
Yeah, we forgot.
Too late. All right, so roll that to save and see if you might not even confuse.
Preserve your attack roll.
I am.
That's lit.
Oh, natural 18. 4. Math. 13. No, that's not math. 23.
All right, so you're no longer confused.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you just shook out.
Yeah. You still want to preserve that attack roll for Bolon when he's in three buildings?
No. Be
How
silly.
Convenient Don't to be a player. Silly.
Wait, can we stay in initiative?
Yeah, you're going to stay in initiative. Because unless you want to just let him flee.
She could shoot him through the window.
Yeah, she could.
We're staying in initiative. That, right. So you have your full complement of actions because you should have rolled in that confusion last round.
Oh, amazing.
So I have how much movement? Oh, my goodness. This is so important. 25 feet. So 5, 10, 15, 20. I can get like... Ooh, whoa. Whoa. Oh, my God.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
So with 25 feet, I can get like... 5, 10, 15, like meow. Meow, perhaps.
Okay, so right up to Talitha, past Buggles, and into the room.
And
well, the window. Which window is where, the zipline?
Yeah,
The window is to the north.
Oh, it's this one. Oh, I didn't see the rope.
Oh, it's the one behind the desk. I don't know why I assumed where it was. Okay, so then I'd need to double move up there.
Poop.
Bounce.
Okay, she can flurry of blows.
No, she cannot. I believe.
Yeah, it's one.
She's still.
Oh no, not with my bow because I need to get into the monastic stance.
Archer stance.
And
she
I
was
left
in the
it.
Monastic Archer.
She left.
Oh, actually, Oof. Also to leave the stance is an action. So just running up to the window itself. Two actions and one action to leave Monastic Archer stance.
Well, no, I think Joe is saying you left it when you...
No, don't ask me. You know the class.
When you went, when you got
I just
used.
Knew you before you said you had to be in that stance to do the flurry of blows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know you have to use an action to just move.
You have to use an action to exit the stance. And then that's how monks.
You can't. You can move.
You can't move until you exit the stance.
I could. My monk.
Is that an actual rule?
I think you can just move, and you. Don't.
Seems insane.
You stay in the stance until you take the action to come out of it or do something that would. Exit
yeah, I would assume you don't lose it just because you move. That seems weird.
Hold on.
Okay.
A stance lasts until you get knocked out, until its requirements are violated, until the encounter ends, or until you enter a new stance, whichever comes first.
Yeah.
So stance.
It would be wildly.
If you read the stance, are you reading the stance trait?
Yeah.
Stance general comments whether you enter by using the stance trait.
It doesn't say anything about moving.
The stance lasts until you get knocked out, until its requirements are violated.
Requirements.
Until the encounter ends or until you enter a new stance. After you use an action with the stance trait, you can't use another one for one round.
So you're good.
Yeah, you don't have to get out.
Where did I read this?
That okay. It, took an
it would be
to
a
out of it.
Huge nerf.
Yeah. And that, like, if I needed to move, I would need to get back into the stance.
That's crazy because you would then have to use an action to get out of it.
No,
and then another action to get back in.
She's not necessarily saying she needed an action to get out of it. She's just saying if she moves, it broke it.
Yeah,
so we need to spend an action.
But the requirements are only you are unarmored and wielding a longbow, short bow, or a bow with the monk trait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless you use another ability with the stance trait. Or the encounter ends, or you get knocked
Someone
unconscious.
Throws a chainmail shirt on you.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
That would.
That's her kryptonite.
Well, then.
It's kind of like
an enemy just sneaks up behind you.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, get it off me.
I have to exit my stance.
I'm a monk.
Yeah, you enter a stance of being in your combat, you stay in the stance the rest of the combat.
Nice. So you can double move up there and get two shots off on this cat.
That's exactly what the monk
I've thought
to.
This the entire time that's how it worked. Okay, well, flurry of
Man,
blows.
That's crazy. Having to use that extra action like every time you're doing it was...
I thought it was like a really big hindrance that I just had to deal with.
Yeah. All right, so you double move up there and then you can see here on the map when you look at Zephyr. Zephyr, you get a shot off on this guy.
Two,
because I'm using flurry of blows because I'm still in my stance. Natural 5.
Ah!
Boobity doop.
Number 2.
Boobity doop.
Natural 5. I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
That was a real roller coaster. Like elation and crushing.
And crushing rage.
I will remove.
You know what? Next time I have a question, just skip me because I'm going to roll like shit anyway.
don't let yourself fall into the Joe despair.
Don't say that.
I'm
don't be like me.
Past it.
Save yourself.
Save yourself.
It is true, though. Like, when we're all debating and debating and debating and debating about how a given role is going to be modified, a lot of times I'm like, Just roll first to see if it's even an issue. We'll figure it out later.
But then we forget to figure it out sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it's Buggles' turn here at the end of round three.
Buggles! All right, so he's still... this aura around him turns to flame and cinder. And this is... He's going to move... Oh, that's not me. He's going to move up to the window, get closer to the window.
Okay.
And yeah, you can get almost up to next foot. And then with his mind healing power, he's going to give Lucky back another 4 hit points. Oh, wait, no, I did that to you last
time. I don't even need it. I have almost up to my full.
Talitha is unconscious.
Okay, Talitha's unconscious body, 4 hit points. He's come back. And
are you going to the window, or you're staying there at the
door?
Go
to the window. Okay. Sorry, it's the and then I am going to raise a shield.
Okay.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Sure.
Could you burn the rope?
He's not on the rope anymore.
I wouldn't have enough.
Oh, he's off the rope on the other side. Yes.
Yeah, he already made it.
Oh, he already made it to the other side.
In one round.
It's one thing down, so you could do the same thing as well. Yeah. He's in that room. Yeah, you can't see it, but if you look on Zephyr can see him standing in there.
Ah!
Now, Buggles, did you want to go? Do you have the movement to go up right next to Zephyr or no?
I don't.
Okay. All right, so Buggles is there, and now... Oh, you know what? I mean to ask you, what was the thing you didn't like about the psychic? You mentioned a couple episodes ago you finally figured it out.
It's like with my amp, like I have this limited resource, the psychic points that I can spend that is supposed to give you a benefits on, you know, your spells, your cantrips. And so for my produce flame, when I roll it normally, when I'm in my aura activated and everything, it's a 1d4 plus 6 is the damage. When I amp it, as it stands now, it's 1d10. But I don't get the bonus. I get the 1 point of splash damage, and that's it. So it's a possible 11 points of damage as opposed to a guaranteed 7 points of damage up to 10. So it's like, why would you ever amp this thing?
Yeah.
Now that's weird.
You know?
Again,
I'm glad you put it out there because maybe Professor Eric could be like, "Oh, you're thinking about that wrong."
Yeah, maybe
sounds right to me.
Or maybe there's like other benefits at higher levels that I'll get from it. But at this point, it's just like I'd never do it.
Right.
So,
That's interesting. All right, well,
I did it for the Ray of Frost last time because I wanted to get that's the only way that I could get the temporary hit points back.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a benefit.
But I don't get that benefit with the fire.
Yeah,
there's no benefit there.
Okay.
So this is my problem.
Well, speaking of problems.
Contest is still open, by the way. Anyone wondering where my inspiration for Buggles went?
Ooh.
Forgot about that.
Now that I have the stage, temporarily. I yield the rest of my time.
Joe, you are up with Brother Ramius at the top of round four. You got effed up pretty early in this combat last week. You stayed behind the wall to make sure you would stay alive. Now what do you do?
Ramius, he's going to come stumbling into the room. He sees Talitha is just waking up on the ground out of unconsciousness.
Stabs her.
Just finishes her off.
What
were you wounded to?
I'm awake.
Talitha's awake and watched you do that.
That's what I said. I see her waking up.
Oh.
And trying to decide what to do here. I hate this.
Where is he?
He's fleeing out the window. Hold on. You're hurt.
I'm fine. Go, give chase.
He is going to do battle medicine on you, on Talitha. So I just don't want to hurt you. Please just don't let me hurt him. Oh, I fucking failed. God, I cannot roll for anything. I'm sorry. I don't have time. And he runs behind
him. Yes, I tried.
I'm going to help you.
Well, she said, get away from me.
But you tried to do it.
You tried anyway.
I know.
And Ben said you didn't have time.
I needed more time. I needed
it's like
an actual
you were like,
treatment.
Yeah.
fuck. Oh, there's no time.
Looking at a horrible wound and going, yeah, you know what? Next time. I got you next time.
You're right.
I'm so sick of fucking sucking. Fucking everything.
Same.
Dice suck. Same. They ruin every moment.
They
Norse
do.
Norse founder. Want someone to blame? Norse founder.
I'm going to send an angry letter.
Yeah.
Are you done your sad turn?
Come on, man.
Come on, man. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Like, it's just the die. There's nothing I can do about die. Nothing I can do about it.
Still waiting to find out if we can get Joe onto Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Joe. It is Lucky's turn. Lucky, you are you're up, right?
Yeah, I'm up, and I have almost all my hit points back, even though I am wounded one.
You live forever.
I live forever, and she is going to yowl, and her fur on the back of her neck is like all up, and she is pissed. And she is going to run towards the window. So to make it exactly to the window is my speed, I believe, 25 feet.
Okay.
So could I second action grab onto the rope to swing? Like,
yes, yeah, so it's not a swing; it's a zip line. So it's gonna be an athletics check. That would be your second action.
Okay.
So you move to the window, athletics check on the zipline.
He's at the bottom, right?
Yeah, he's in the next room. He's swung all the way through.
I want to, like, do the zipline, and I want to do, like, a third action when I dismount to try to, like, grapple him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you basically, you'll just do the grapple action.
Yeah,
when you get in there.
Okay. So you said athletics.
Yep.
Okay.
Before you do it, Zephyr goes, he's right at the bottom of the zip line. Just so you know, I can see him. He's right there.
I'm going to jump on him. I'm going to claw his eyes out. And I go to do something cool on the zip.
No.
What did you roll?
Got a 10.
You got a 10?
10.
Come on. God.
Okay, wait. Can you at least look me in the eyes? Is it so bad that I'm going to, like, fall off or something? Because I have this, but I don't want to use this if it's a total waste.
What did you roll?
A 10.
It's for you to decide.
That's not true. She is well within her... Well, she didn't know the total effects, but she would know if it's a critical fumble or not.
I want,
or
yeah.
Spending.
You wouldn't know. No, you don't
critical
need to know
failure.
That. You don't need to know that. You know you rolled a 10. I would tell you that, like, if you fail, you think you're going to fall. So it's up to you if you want to use that. You would know that it's a critical failure.
Yeah, you can know if it is a critical failure before you spend a bottle cap. You don't have to know the effects of a critical failure.
Can you point me into the rule book where it says how bottle caps work? Oh, I have it here on my personal notes. Bottle caps. You don't get to know.
It's Christmas.
It is. It's a low roll.
Actually, I think you are right. I don't know what I was thinking.
Joe!
It's Joe. It's classic O'Brien.
It's Christmas!
Here's the thing. It's a low roll. You know, you're looking. Like, if you slip,
did you think the DC
fall.
Was 20? I don't know.
No, but the DC could be 11. And then if I fail anyway, I could fall off.
That was such a low roll. If I were you, I would spend the bottle cap.
Yeah.
And then when you'll probably do better. You land, say something incredibly funny, the funniest thing you've ever said in your life.
And you get it right back.
Earn one right back.
Bing, bang, boom.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
I'll do it. Troy,
mm-hmm.
This is for you.
Okay.
This economy is hot.
Yeah.
Thank All right. You. I'm going to use a
this
different...
Adam Smith's dream.
Different die.
Okay.
It's better. It's a 15.
15. You slide down with ease into the next room.
Oh my god, that was amazing. Did you trigger a slide?
No, I just made her slide.
I mean, it was like exactly online to the point where I was like, that seems like an automatic function of the map.
You are one-on-one in there with the...
So, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to grapple. Maybe I'll just hit him.
You could hit him.
Yeah, I'm just going to hit him.
Certainly try.
Oh, wait, but he had like a...
Hit him.
All right, I'm going to try. With my my Kopesh.
Kopesh?
Natural 15 plus 9. Four. That's more than that. That's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
24.
24.
We'll get there.
24 is a hit.
I really want to. I want to buy you like an old school accountant's calculator,
like a slide roll. Like a slide roll
with the paper, so I can keep track. Oh, yeah.
The receipt comes out.
I can keep track as well.
She'll get there.
I'll get there. I get nervous when I 16, 17, I get excited.
She'll get there.
You guys have to do like arithmetic, like. In elementary school, you have to do like one-on-one. Like, two people would stand up, and our teacher would be like, 3 times 7, and you had the first person would be like 21 would win, and then we had like a round robin. Like,
no, I would. They would say 3 times 7, and I'd say 20, and then a nun would punch me in the face with all her strength.
What people don't understand is we're doing simple math under lots of emotion.
Yeah, and when I roll high, I get excited.
Like, there was this one guy I went to elementary school with. When he got up, his thing would be he would count out loud on his fingers at the loudest volume possible.
That's
and
me.
It would be totally disorienting for whoever you're up against. So he would get there at his own pace, but everyone else would be like, ah.
That's my tactic.
That's a hit. Tell me the damage.
Confusion. That's an 11. I rolled a 7 plus 4. It's 11.
11 points.
Nice.
Damage.
I come in with the Kopesh.
Amazing.
And then, she just looks up. She goes, "You're going to regret that."
Yeah.
Let's find out. It is Talitha's turn.
Okay, Talitha will quick tincture an elixir of life and drink it, second action, for 1 hit point.
Oh.
And then grab my rapier. And that is my turn.
And are you still prone?
Yeah.
Okay. Tincture for 1 hit point. Old 1 hit point O'Brien over there loves
That's,
it.
That's 1 whole hit point more than Brother Amius gave me.
That's true. That's true.
Because you gave her none. Because you failed. This is a fun game.
I don't even want to say how low the target number I had to hit on that die was. It is such a single digit that's so low it would shock
you. It's a single digit? It's such a single digit.
It is so single, that digit.
And it's digit
both single as
the
ball.
It's not even close to being double.
You would gasp at how single that digit is.
Yeah. You would have so many nightmares at night.
That digit.
Thinking about how single is going out for singles night.
All right.
This die roll is getting 2-for-1 drinks.
What kind of clothing are you wearing?
That's an inappropriate question at the office.
And I'm asking Sydney.
This is cotton.
No, are you wearing like cotton and hemp?
No, no. She's wearing.
Oh, I know what
are you wearing a grass skirt?
I'm wearing. Chainmail.
Chainmail?
Yeah.
But he's going to try to make your shit come alive with necromancy?
Is it fair to say that underneath your chainmail is clothing that is most likely made of cotton or hemp?
It's not what
do you have any cloth on, or do you only wear metal?
I will say,
only wear metal,
synthetic
right?
Fiber.
I will say.
Oh, yeah.
I will
it's
say.
It's in that vein.
Okay. So, Lucky is from, like, a desert area.
Okay.
I don't know how many fibrous plants exist in that area, and I made it specifically her character art. She has, like, these scarves that are, like, wrapped around her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I don't know what they're made out of, but they are from where
leather, I think,
she's
right?
from.
Just say polyester.
Could be leather.
Are they polyester desert. Scarves?
You know what?
From a desert it's region like
probably
Egypt, which
synthetic.
There's no cotton there.
So. Could be silk. They could be silk.
Maybe it's silk. Maybe it's
would
synthetic.
You just tell him what it is?
I don't know what it is.
You don't think you're wearing a single bit of cotton or hemp on your body?
Too scratchy.
Or linen?
She's a cat.
This climate.
I don't know if they
in the
like
middle
that.
Of winter.
Just pick one. And if you say you're not wearing any, just make sure you can sleep in it.
I don't think she's wearing any.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's bold.
That is bold.
That is bold. That's like me asking Brother Ramius, are you wearing a metal robe?
Exactly. My tinfoil monk's robe. We have very specific beliefs.
You know what, Troy? This can be up to you. Maybe. No. I don't know. Maybe
roll.
Who's asking?
A die roll, maybe.
It's your choice.
It's your
You've
character.
Made your choice, and now no matter what, you cannot be wearing cotton
think,
when it would
you know
benefit
what?
You.
I think it's silk. I think there's silk scarves. I like that, Matthew, and I think that makes sense from a desert
like a silk
community
underpants.
Yeah, silk underpants, silky smooth. Really soft, not scratchy, not hemp.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. What are you holding in your hand? What are your weapons?
My Kopesh.
Cotton. A bolt of cotton.
You have a cotton. You have a cotton dagger.
Cotton ball.
You have a +1 cotton dagger.
trying to stuff his mouth with cotton. Yeah.
I carry a lot of cotton.
It's like I picked the wrong time to wield a hemp scimitar.
It's a kopesh and a wakizashi.
Okay, and is there any wood whatsoever? Is the hilt made out of wood on any?
Why are you even asking this question?
I don't.
You're gonna find a way to get there.
I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't. Do you want me to Google what it looks like? I don't know.
Yeah, there might not be.
You can just answer.
I don't know the answer.
It's make believe.
Wakizashi can have yes. Handles.
Handle material.
It's material. Wood, I think.
I believe it's wood. It's a wood handle on
wood,
my...
usually with a shark skin wrap grip.
Thank you.
There you go.
Nerded!
All right, so for your wakizashi, here's what I'm going to do.
I hate this.
I need you to roll a reflex save. Basically, the handle, he like reaches his hand out, and the handle of the wakizashi starts shaking in your hand like it's trying to leap from your grasp.
What is this that he's doing? It's not a spell, right?
No, it's not a spell.
Just like a supernatural ability. I don't know what the word is for that in Tui.
Because she does have an attack of opportunity.
Right.
Yeah, the question is it a manipulate action to do it? Does the action to do it have the manipulate trait?
It does not.
It does not.
It does not, yeah.
Definitively, you know that.
Definitively, yeah, because I see what the traits are here.
All right.
So just give me a reflex save. It's trying to leap from your hand.
This
it's like
fair. My
controlling.
He's going to Jedi the... You all.
My weapons love me. They wouldn't do this.
And it's reflex, your best.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's 24.
24, you hold on to the item with no effect.
Nice.
Give me that.
Grip it tighter.
All right, it's Zephyr's turn.
Was he going to make my clothing fly off?
Right?
This guy's
there are children
like
who watch
the first thing would be the weapon.
Lucky yells, this guy's a sicko.
Hey, we've got a perv.
He's a pervert.
Get the perv.
He's trying to get me naked.
He does that and he's like, ah. And it's Zephyr's turn.
Here we go.
Can I zipline with one hand?
Oh, and the longbow out of the other.
Oh.
Zipline with one hand.
And she just used
with
the
my bow or something. Like,
yes.
I don't know how ziplines work. I'm just a girl.
I'm just a girl. Try to ask a GM how ziplines work.
Just a simple girl. I don't know how ziplines work.
Girl.
Oh, God. I mean, here's what I'll say is, yes, the athletics check is going to be slightly harder because you're only using one hand, and this is meant to be a two-handed zipline situation. But if you have good athletics...
What if she were to use her bow as the zipline handle?
That's kind of cool. I think rule of cool, I would keep the DC the same.
Yes.
Cool. That's what I'm going to do. Going to zipline over there using my bow.
You'd get a lot less horrific burns on your hands.
Right?
Which...
I have hand wraps on. They're not like anything special, but...
Okay.
Zephyr's the most well-suited to this particular task.
Ooh, natural 16, so that's a 23.
Oh, the bow goes over?
Zipline over there, and I kick him in the face.
I got good news, and I got bad news.
No.
The good news is that is a successful check. The bad news is what he tried to do on you was only one action. With his remaining two actions, he readied an action.
Oh.
As you start sliding, he cuts the rope. And we'll be back right after this break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's holiday season, which means gift giving for a lot of people. I'm no exception. I have roughly 40 nephews, so I am no stranger to shopping for toys and fun stuff for them, which is great for me. It's good to like get the kind of gifts that I thought that I would like to get when I was their age. But whether or not your family gives gifts during the holidays, you get to define how you give to yourself. And the holidays are a great time to do that. So whether it's by starting therapy, going easier on yourself through the tough moments, or treating yourself to a day of complete rest, remember to give yourself some love this holiday season, and therapy can be a big part of that. I haven't been shy about talking about how much I've benefited from therapy, been doing it for years, and it's really helped me quite a bit, just learning those kind of coping skills and
really learning how to go easier on yourself in times when you normally wouldn't. That's a huge part of it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. In the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GCN.
The rope starts to fall.
No.
Give me
can't win.
A reflex.
You can't win.
You finally rolled well, and then Troy was
psych.
I need a reflex save. You are falling to the forest floor.
All right. 15.
Zephyr falls 50 feet to the ground.
Oh my god!
I am going to lose it.
It takes 25 points of bludgeoning.
Oh my...
Zephyr! Brother Amos is right at the window and watches this happen.
Zephyr takes 25 points of bludgeoning damage.
If his second action was a manipulate on the rope to cut it, I get an attack of opportunity. No. Would I interrupt him?
It's an attack action. You attack the rope.
Attack the rope.
Damn it! I thought it was untying it. Fuck!
So Zephyr is unconscious and dying. Dying one.
What does he have in his hands?
A dagger.
When did, what, so he had the dagger in his hand when he did
all
the
right,
line?
We can't bring her back up from the We cannot. We
I'll
can't.
Try.
We can't.
I'll die on this zip line.
She needs to die today.
I mean...
I got you.
She's 50 feet below on the ground. A successful check would have had you land actually on the bridge below. Reflex save, but it's a very tough reflex save. So you plummet to the ground and she is dying down there.
Cool.
50 feet away and now... Bolan and Lucky are one-on-one, and you guys are very far from there. So there's two problems.
What is your bottle cap situation?
No bottle caps.
Your bottle cap situation is zero.
Yeah. I have been supplying the economy with bottle caps, and I have not been getting any back. It's kind of like the real economy, you know?
Yeah. It really mimics the actual
It's like, you
got
to spend money, but we're never going to give you any.
Get it.
You spend money to make money, and then you spend it, and you don't get anything back.
And then your character dies.
Were you planning on using the rope? Were you going to athletics down?
Fuck no.
Okay. Because I was like, this is happening to Joe. I knew it was happening to somebody, but I just assumed it would be you. Like, Brother Ramius, like, building himself up and being like, I'm going.
I probably would have if it came.
Slice!
If I was, like, the last one, I'd probably do it, but, like...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Seth.
No, you're not.
I'm a little sorry.
You're having a great time on Christmas.
Having a great time. This is the greatest Christmas gift he's received yet.
You're welcome.
Again, it's not even November yet.
Let me just put her on the ground there. So Zephyr is down there.
All right, I'll see you guys next week.
It is Buggles' turn. Buggles, you just hear... splat.
Okay. And Brother Amius is like, Zephyr fell. He cut the rope. There's no way across.
So Buggles is stupefied. He falls out of his... He's like,
No, Zephyr.
And he, with his, in this semi-daze, he's going to try to climb down the rope to get there.
Okay. Looking up climb.
Does the rope reach the ground? Is the real question. Is it a 50-foot rope?
The rope is as long as it is on the John here.
Looks like 20 feet or something. 24.
So it won't even get halfway down to the ground.
But then it's certainly less of a, you know, it's, what is it, 20 feet of rope or 25?
20 feet of rope.
20 feet of rope.
So, yeah.
That would be 15 points of damage, but you could actually do the thing where you, like, try to break your fall. And
it's 25. It's 25.
It's 25? Okay, yeah. So it would be some damage if you, like, let yourself go, but I don't think it would knock you unconscious.
Yeah, I'm going to try. And I've still got the temporary HP, so I'm just going to try to crawl down the rope as far as I can. Fall from there. And, die next to her, I guess. There's nothing else I can do to help.
All right. Let me just look here, make sure we're doing this by the rules. For climb, 5 to 5 success or critical. Athletics allows you before. All right, so athletics.
No, so it's you move up, down, or across an incline. Unless it's particularly easy, you have to attempt an athletics check. The GM determines the DC. You are flat-footed, and then it's just success, critical failure. A success, for example, you move safely up or down 5 feet per 20 feet of your land movement.
What?
So if you, yeah, you gotta like climb, you can't like climb down faster than you walk. So it's like, if you have 20 feet of movement or 25 feet of movement, you can only move 5 feet per action.
Are you trained in athletics?
I'm not.
Yeah. Because if you're trained in athletics...
But I'm not climbing the rope. I'm going down.
Wow.
Going
right. down it would yeah. make sense if you were climbing up a rope, but climbing down, you can kind of just like go and stop and go.
You
and
move
stop.
Up, down.
Wow.
Yeah, I know what the rule says, I'm just but saying. That's, I'm saying it's stupid.
Yeah.
As a lot of these...
All right, so you move to the window first action.
Yeah.
Okay? And then we'll say you get 10 feet down the rope.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have you roll athletics. And then, yeah, there's 15 feet of rope left, and then another... 20 or so feet to the forest floor.
And there really is like, well, actually, that's not true. In a little bit, there is, I can't help.
All right, so Buggle starts making his way down there to try and save Zephyr, thereby taking himself essentially out of this combat against Bolan.
We're all out of the combat.
Yeah, that's the
thing. Yeah, how are you guys getting over there?
I don't know how to get over there.
I can shoot across.
Go all the way back down, all the way back across the bridge. All the way back up in that other building.
Yeah, by the time
I know
that happens, you'll either have killed him or
you'll be dead. Fighting a one-on-one. Yeah,
you'll be dead. Yeah,
it's gonna be over in a minute. Let's
round five, first five rounder in the Glass Cannon Podcast Camp.
Is it?
Might be, Brother Ramius. What, if anything, can you do?
He's useless. obviously. Man. I mean, I'm just thinking. You know, I just want to play.
A different game.
Reacting the way... Yeah, I just want to play...
sort of play Monopoly.
Anything but this. No, just reacting moment to moment. He sees her fall. I mean, it's hard to imagine that he doesn't immediately want to help her. I mean, he's got to be like, Lucky, get out of there! Or something, like, because we can't help you! And maybe we can meet back at the middle or something. I don't know. Then he, just thinking about how to...
Yeah, there's another bridge to
the
south.
So low level, he can't do anything.
You look how far away that other bridge is. Like, you could take the long way around to get into that room as well. It's another option.
Yeah.
All of you have that option. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. He certainly is.
We can't even run. Because it's not going to be straight. Not going to be straight line. So we're going to be
just move.
Just
yeah.
movement speed. It's brutal.
Yeah. It's gonna. It'll take so long that she'll definitely be dead. Oh my god.
Lucky one-on-one. One-on-one.
So again,
fights.
Yeah. So I mentioned this last week, but again, you see this. He sees this flash as Lucky falls of a boy broken at the bottom of basically a cliff with these waves washing up against him. And he's just. No! And he is. He's going to get over his fear and he's going to jump onto the rope. And he's terrified that he's going to fall, but he's going to try to go down there and save Zephyr.
Okay. The rope shakes so violently from your weight that Buggles falls and dies as well.
It's like, oh, I'm coming! I'm coming!
No, please, Brother Ramius, no!
All right, so you move right below. So you move up, go out the window, you make the same distance as Buggles, 10 feet down a 25-foot rope, 40 feet away. From Zephyr. It is now Lucky's turn. Now, Lucky, one-on-one fights don't tend to go well here at the Glass Cannon. It's a huge, huge round for you, especially because it seems like your friends have abandoned you. Zephyr even killed herself rather than try and help you.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what Lucky thinks happened. She knows. Mm. Man.
That's what she thinks, having watched her one-on-one opponent cut the rope her friend was using to get to her.
Did he?
Yeah.
I watched him
Maybe
do it.
Maybe they planned it.
But did Zephyr tell him to do it?
I'd like to do a flashback.
Lucky is thinking about all of this. No. Did they plan it? Was Zephyr in on it the
She's
whole
not in her right
time?
Mind.
The amount of paranoia that would take.
I saw her shoot Buggles at Brother Ramius.
She shot two of my friends.
Why did she do that?
Actually, yeah, I guess you could maybe.
We just talked you into it.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, what are you going to do here? One-on-one, boom, shakalaka.
That doesn't scare Lucky. Lucky's not afraid that her companions are far away. She's been fighting her whole life.
You're fully healed, too, right?
And I'm almost up to my full hit points.
Yeah. If you go down, you go straight to wounded two. If you go down via a crit, you will go straight to wounded three.
Dying.
Well, dying three. I have a feeling that the dice were against me before, but I have a feeling they're back on my side.
Spoiler alert, the cap you gave me was wasted. It was DC 10 athletics chair.
Why would you tell me that?
Just so you have that going into this.
Just so my mental fortitude is shaken.
Psyching you out.
You're evil. You're evil.
Now it seems like Joe and Troy planned that.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. Now, Sydney,
no,
the,
I was truly like...
Sydney, the player, is like, is Joe a
truly like, do you really think that that a 10 is going to result in falling? I just did not think so.
Her success resulted in her falling.
Well, because the rope was cut.
There was no rope there.
You're,
be a hero.
I'm going to...
Just today. Like the real economy.
I'm going
to... You didn't even need to give me that bottle cap, but you gave it to me.
I'm going to double slice
okay. At
Bolon.
Okay, come on, hit!
Oh, no. 13 for the first one.
I don't like you to usually lift the veil of the enemy's ACs, but I will say his is higher than 13.
Second attack. Double slice, a cracked eye.
Bet.
Oh,
Sydney.
Oh my God.
Sydney.
15 to hit.
You should have just worn cotton.
And now I'm worried.
Jump out the window.
Why not desire to cop knots in there?
Should I?
I mean, you are a cat. Maybe you can land next to me. Yeah.
I think you might land on all 4 feet.
Well, I have an idea.
Break your arms and legs.
Bolon,
just shatter your arms and
legs. Does Bolon go next?
No. No. You can see the initiative tracker, but none of your friends. Your friends.
I'm debating if I should jump through that trap door to escape. I can't.
Well, all you have is Talitha's got her crossbow.
Flashback to a moment that happened last episode. Talitha dropped her crossbow when she charged into the room. It is sitting on the floor. Just outside.
Bump, 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 bump!
Can I talk to my players real quick?
Just jump out.
You talk to my players real quick.
You don't think I should stay in the fight?
I don't think you should. I mean...
What do you want to do? You were intent on that, on those first two actions. Like, this is what my character does. So what does your character do with that one remaining action?
With the result of what just happened.
Jump down or just stand there?
It's really a matter of, are you a hero or a scared cat?
I don't know.
No, that is not
true. That's not true.
That is a
that's the only way in or out of the building. Any of the room.
No, there's a
door. That's not true. There's a bridge across.
There's a bridge.
On this level?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like around that stone.
Oh, we haven't been that way.
We went that way. We saw it, and then we turned around and came back.
You know what? Maybe she'll go that route. 20, 25. She doesn't even make it out of the room. You know what? She's going to move away. Probably have an attack of opportunity. She's going to run away. She's going to run around the corner in the room to the opposite side where the door to the bridge is.
Okay.
And that's as far as she makes it.
Actually, this isn't a bad strategy. If we can draw him out of that room, we can get to you sooner.
If I jump down the hole, I potentially am stuck in that lower room and he could like shoot down at me or something. So.
Yeah, he'll have the high ground. All right, so you start running around there. As you move away from him, he does not attack.
Okay. All right. It's my turn.
It is Talitha Breakwater's turn. Hand crossbow. 15 feet away from the ground.
Talitha, gripping her rapier, will stand up. First action. And then double move, which will get her exactly to the door to the bridge where we one-shot that one oak steward.
Ah.
And there's a fox over there.
There's a fox.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
Foxy. All right, so you go back to the door where you murdered.
Oh, man, we are. This is wild.
This is wild.
All right, so your movement gets you all the way up to the door.
Which I lack the action still. Because I had to stand.
Oh, right.
You guys
we shut
love
it.
Closing doors. Now it's coming back.
Actually,
to get
you know what? I'm going to stay. I'll stand back one step. That way someone can get ahead of me and open the door.
Okay. Very good.
You're the only one anywhere near that door.
You could get there.
I'm down the rope.
He started to go
he
down.
He started climbing down the rope.
Never mind. I'll stand.
It's just you, buddy.
You'll stand.
You're
there.
Alone in this entire wing of the complex.
I'm about to fight this fox one on one.
Zephyr, give me a DC 11 flat check to see if you go to dying two.
Five.
Dying.
Five.
Oh, no. Okay.
Having a good time.
You're going to be fine.
I'm embracing the chaos and the bad rolls. You try to take me down.
How many hit points do you have?
Zero.
No, like when you're full.
19.
19, yeah. So. Yeah. Even with the old massive damage rules, you wouldn't have been...
Not for this hit, no. You almost did massive damage to me a few episodes ago. Yeah.
Okay, so now you're dying too. Yikes.
Yum, yum.
It's Bolan's turn. Pickles and chips. He is going to...
Pickle chips?
He's going to move over to Lucky. 10 feet away. And rain down hell on your non-cotton soul. This is real bad.
Oh my God.
All right, so... I'm going to do the same thing I did before. The walls and the floor and all the little branches that make up this room start to grow spikes. Give me a basic reflex save.
Okay. Oh, Sydney. As bad as we're rolling, I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
I know.
My teeth are so wet.
The Christmas miracle.
That's 25.
25. Regular success. You take 7 points of piercing damage.
Ow.
I will say that transformation stays there. How long? You don't know. Last time you saw it go away, the second he moved, it went away. But right now, it stays there. Good save. It's Buggles' turn.
Buggles, still stupefied, his head still swimming as he... back alone in his own skull, keeps going down. He takes 2 movement actions to get to the bottom of the rope, as close to the bottom rope as he can.
Okay, so that gets you, there's only 5 feet of rope left, because you've moved 20 feet down. 5 feet of rope left, 25 feet to the ground.
Okay, and then when he gets that far down, he is going to cast shield on himself.
Shaking Brother Ramius on the rope above. I mean, this is amazing. What a scene. Trying to save poor Zephyr's life. And we go to the top of round 6. Brother Ramius.
So where is he on the rope?
10 feet down. Buggles is another 10 feet down.
And you're still on the rope?
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to say, Buggles, hold tight. And he's shaking and he's terrified. You're telling me I don't have to roll for this, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
You're a good dude.
I feel like it's a controlled situation. It's bad enough.
And and you can see his muscles are shaking. He is not used to this kind of training. He's like Joe O'Brien if he was on a rope hanging over a 40-foot drop. And he...
Your Patreon goal.
He pages... he paces down until he's right near the bottom of the rope. And if my math is right, then he went down 10 feet and then he went down another 10 feet. Right?
Yeah, this, yep. You're right above Buggles. Yeah. 5 feet of rope left.
Okay. Well, then he's going to try and look over past Buggles toward Zephyr.
25 feet away.
And he's going to cast heal on Zephyr from here.
Okay.
It's got a 30-foot range. She should be 30 feet away
at
this point.
She is within 30 feet.
And I think that I can't see any reason reading what I saw here on Climb that why he can't cast. It doesn't say you can't, you know, use a manipulate action or whatever.
Yep.
So he's going to pray and say, I should have done this long ago. Forgive my past sins. Let her be saved. And he stretches his hand down and a healing energy comes toward you, Zephyr. and he'll heal you for 13.
Nice. Whoa, so she's like lying at the bottom, like on the ground, like face up, I imagine. And like with that fail before, I'm just like fading out. And then suddenly it's just like, because that's like almost all my hit points back out of nowhere.
Now he's holding, swinging like with one hand, and then he grabs back on with the other hand, and he's just like holding the rope and putting his face up next to the hemp, and he's just like terrified, doesn't know how he's going to get up or down now.
Yeah. Climbing up may involve checks, climbing down.
So now I'm wounded too.
You're wounded too, prone, laying on the ground 50 feet away from this combat. It is now Lucky's turn.
Okay, so with this like terrain that he's done, I see you put it on the map. If I try to open the door, you're saying the door has vines on it, or...
You feel like you'd be all right to open the door, but moving out of this space is going to require careful footing in the form of a reflex save to try and get out of this. Now, the good news is it doesn't extend beyond the door.
Right. So once I open the door, I can just step out, close the door.
Yes, stepping out, you'd have to roll the reflex save.
Brother.
Because you started your turn in the John.
This sucks. So I can either step in toward him, try to double slice.
And which will make you also have to roll a reflex.
And then I'm stuck
or
anyway.
Or step away and get away from it. Yeah.
I'm going to step away just knowing that, like, this terrain.
Are you at the door?
Yeah.
So you're going to open the door?
Yeah.
Well, here's... Actually, you might be able to get away. Let me see how you guys interpret this. Who are in the affected area or those who move through an affected square. I think you can move out.
Out of an affected
square. She's standing at the edge of
it. Yeah, you're standing in it. So I think you're not moving through it. You're moving out of it.
Yeah.
So I think you're okay to open the door and get out of it.
So I'm going
to
open the door. First action. Step out. Second action.
No, just run.
Oh. Okay.
Because... If you're a double move away, then he either has to have the right range, he has to move through difficult terrain, or he's got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to double move then.
Okay.
If you open, step out, close.
Then I'm stuck.
He's just going to move up, open.
Yeah.
Well, that does leave him one action then, which is nice. He might not be able to cast something powerful on you, but...
Or he could just wait. I would just get out of there.
Yeah, I'm just going to run.
I would sprint.
Double move. Yep, I sprint.
Gut.
All right, Lucky, you sprint.
And I make it all the way across the bridge to the other side.
All the way across the bridge to the other side.
Oh, but that's... And you might meet Talitha! And there's a fox!
And there's a fox!
right next to the body of the...
And I have 5 hit points.
The Oak Steward Mole. You have 5 hit points? Well, it's your turn, Fivey.
Fivey.
Talitha will open the door.
Okay, I can only do that, right? Yep. Boop.
Hi, Talitha.
Hello. Oh, hey.
Hello.
And then I will move. I will double move out onto the central platform.
This is we literally meet there.
At moment.
Oh no!
You get about 15 feet onto the bridge.
No.
All right. Well, then I'm in my first move.
Collapses.
No, it doesn't. It does.
Oh my God.
Are you serious?
I need you to roll a reflex save to attempt to grab a ledge.
Oh no.
What's the DC on this?
Don't worry about it.
It's a standard DC.
I have a DC here.
We looked out that door.
I rolled
a 15. Down that.
We thought about cutting that bridge.
We thought about cutting the stupid bridge.
Okay, 19.
Oh.
You grab a ledge.
Oh, my God.
And you're hanging 50 feet above the ground. Just like,
oh, right. My God.
And the bridge is gone.
Extremely important question.
Yes.
Which way did it collapse? Am I hanging on the way I came or the way I was going?
Oh, that's interesting.
I think you got almost to the end before it collapsed.
You said it was 15
feet. You left at the far end.
Yeah. Well, since the trap is set up on this end, I would think your weight swings it to the other side, which is good because now you can climb up
I can't help Lucky.
No, you can climb up to where Lucky is.
Oh, it's on that side.
Yeah. I should.
This is such crazy timing. Lucky just got to that platform and sees Talitha and is like, immediately the
bridge
falls.
You just saw two traps happen.
Oh, my God.
Very Temple of Doom.
Yeah, this is a very, very, very
Zephyr, plop. Talitha, plop. I think Talitha died, too. I probably think Talitha fell all the way down.
You hear all the wood snapping in the forest. Pop, pop, pop. And you're...
Maybe she drops. She, like, immediately drops to the bridge and just grabs onto a plank and rides it down.
Boom, slams into the wall.
Takes 5 points of damage.
Falls and dies.
You actually got there a little faster now. It's a 10-foot climb. A 10-foot climb.
Okay, it's a net positive.
If I only got 15 feet, that was in the middle of my move action. My first move action. So I do have one action left.
Yeah, you could. It interrupts that action.
So I get one more.
Yeah, you get one more action.
So I will start climbing up.
All right, give me an athletics check just to see if you can get up there. Only a natural one would have you fall.
Oh
my God.
I have a minus one to athletics.
Oh my God.
All right, so natural one or two.
Three.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say you get 5 feet up.
Okay.
Instead of fall. Oh, shit.
God.
Oh, my God. What a horrible. I'm alive.
Oh! Yeah, the first one you grab is like, snap, and just breaks right out.
Oh, that was a close one.
Splat.
Oh. I cannot believe how bad
I might have a heart attack and die right now.
It's Norse Foundry.
This is
intense.
I need to die.
This is one of my favorite combats we've ever had.
Yeah, this is pretty.
I bet it is.
This is thrilling.
All right, Zephyr, it's your turn. You are on the ground.
Right.
You're on the ground down there. The only way in, unless you can fly, is to walk back to where that first entrance is.
Let me see.
We're about to drag this combat into the open, and Zephyr has a longbow.
Zephyr does have a longbow.
She can start picking us.
You're the best equipped to be down there. You're 50 feet down in a...
I stand up. I aim at the bridge. Because I saw Talitha maybe... run, or not Talitha, Lucky. Maybe running across the bridge.
You see her like a cat against the
moon. And I knew he was in that room.
I'm sorry, not to be that guy again. You have to pick up your bow.
Matthew.
So proud of you.
You don't think that a monastic archer wouldn't hold on to it?
They're never dying.
But you're after falling 50 feet and dying. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, do you still want to play in this game?
I just feel like I only need you to try to sabotage my life, and then I've got you. Well, no, you actually haven't sabotaged me yet.
I crawled down a rope.
Just this left side of the table.
You know
here.
What I should do is I should start awarding bottle caps to teacher's pets, because then we get the rules right, and then people don't feel as bad. That's something I'm going to think about in the new year.
Come on!
Well, because then I know Joe won from a couple eps ago.
I'll take it.
All right, so you can see that...
That's not an obstacle for us.
I'm already confused just thinking about it.
I'm not. Pretty clear to me. Pretty straightforward, but...
Hey, I should point out that if I had... You know, just assume that I in my death grip had clutched onto my rapier, I'd already be out on this.
Yeah, that's true. There's no way. You fell 50 feet.
Is there any...
That the bow's right next to you.
I don't know if we have luck rolls or anything like that here. Is there anything I can do?
To see if you're holding on to your bow?
I feel like I can stand up, and if it's next to me, just do all that at the same time. You ever stand up and grab something at the same time?
All the time.
Anyone? Anyone?
Literally, in almost any tabletop RPG you play, you could do that. Just not this one.
Not this one.
It is an interact action to grab your... And I think that we talked about this before. I think that there is a feat at a certain point that you hold your weapons if you are ever knocked unconscious.
Yeah, so when you gained the unconscious condition, you fall prone and drop all items you're wielding or holding until the effect states otherwise or until a GM determines that you wouldn't. So when you fell, you dropped your weapons.
Okay. Well, my turn is standing up, picking up my bow.
Okay.
And
then one more action to make sure the bowstring's still attached.
Right. It's like tuning
take
a guitar.
Out an arrow.
Actually, honestly, you know what you would have to do?
What?
You're out of your stance.
I don't need to be in my stance to use the bow. Right. I need to be in my stance to use flurry of blows bow.
But you have an action.
I can still use the bow.
That's what you should spend your third action.
You have the action.
But if I, can I aim at the bridge and ready an action?
No, because that's two actions.
Two actions. Oh, okay.
Ready.
My elastic stance is probably your best.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see ready would be great, because if he starts running, then you could pop one.
Next round, if he ends his turn on that bridge somewhere, you could have four attacks at him.
And I guess, and then I can also see the platform from where I am also, in case they get onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can see the edge of the platform.
That's pretty awesome.
You can see Lucky. As long as someone is standing either on the bridge or along the edge, you could attack them.
And free action. I mean, Lucky would probably yell out, he's behind me, you know.
Maybe this is all a good thing that I'm down here. So I can
It all works it's out.
A net positive.
It's how the cookie crumbles. So yeah, stand.
Positivity. I think we can kill Troy in this way.
He's not going to stab you.
My new plan is toxic positivity. This sounds great. I'm ready.
It's great.
Stand up. Grab my bow. Monastic archer stance.
It's awesome. This is great.
I could just see her
what
settling her
better?
Feet into the soil. Below. Just
And I hate myself for the way that Joe has rubbed off on the thing I'm about to say, but doesn't it feel good to play by the rules?
You know what? It does feel good to play by the rules.
I like you.
Because when you win,
I like this Matthew.
Purposefully.
Bottle. I like this Matthew.
It just feels good. I don't like feeling bad.
I want to cheat.
I know. Cheating feels
good. I'd be fine cheating in this.
I want to win.
Winning is what feels good.
No, Sydney.
By any means
by
necessary.
By any means necessary. Necessary. Oakland Raiders philosophy.
Hey, there's a guy running on the map. Yep, what's
there
going
is.
On?
Here he comes.
He comes up running after old Lucky. First action.
Did he have to pass through difficult terrain?
His
or
own.
Is it not difficult to him?
The minute he moves, it goes away.
So when he starts,
that's why
step
he moved
to
up to us. It's just a burst around him, a radius around him. I imagine.
Got it.
So that goes away. He has to double move. Running is two actions or one action?
I don't know.
I've been trying to look it up. I don't think it is.
I think you just stride. I don't know if running exists.
Run. When you run, you can move up to four times your speed.
Are you looking at 1E?
That's 1E.
Yeah, I don't see it for 2E.
All right, so it's just a double move.
Because you can triple move in 2E.
Oh, right. I always forget that.
Well, that's interesting, because if all I can do is double move...
It's two of your actions.
I love rules.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. This will actually be a lot more dramatic and fun. I'm going to single move.
When I search run on Demiplane, I just get runes and rune lords.
All right, this is going to be fun. I'm going to single move. Single
like
move
to,
on to
that
the
I will rune up to...
they spell run really funny. Demiplane. But I guess I will runes up to four times my speed.
Rise of the run lord.
It's just chariots of fire.
All right, so this is a cinematic as it goes. He leaves the room. As he's walking out of the room, all those spikes recede behind him. He gets onto the bridge, standing on opposite sides of the bridge with Lucky. The windmill just... on his side, and he looks at you, wind whipping. He grabs his staff.
No!
And you see thorns and flowers and everything.
No!
He's got the shillelagh, and he is coming for you. And it is Buggles' turn.
Okay. Is shillelagh a two-action, John?
It's a spell, yeah.
John, yeah.
So
that's why he's so far from you.
Oh,
so glad I have 5 hit points.
So it doesn't matter to you. You know, a regular one would put you down anyway, so.
That's true.
Buggles is dangling at the bottom of this rope. His head is, like, dizzy from the stupefy. In an instant, it goes away. His eyes, boom, open, and fiery red. The aura forms around him. And this deep voice comes out of him and says, and if you see subtitles, it's just like, where is the enemy? I will burn him.
Brother Rapius is just hearing this just below him. Sweat pouring into his eyes. Like, what is that?
What was that, Buggles?
First,
he's like, Buggles?
First, I'm going to cast, used Restore the Mind on Zephyr for 4 hit points.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Down
below. And then Buggles, he turns his gaze towards the enemy on the bridge. And these beams of fire shoot out of his eyes towards him.
Okay, and what's the range on that?
Okay, never mind.
Because maybe he'll just take a penalty if it's
He points a finger at him and a ray of frost.
Okay.
But amped ray of frost.
Amped ray of frost, which has 120 feet, more than enough.
21 to hit.
21 is a hit.
Yes! Okay. All right. That is 6 points of frost damage.
6 points of frost damage.
And I get 3 more temporary HP.
What is your perception DC? So your perception plus 10. This one, 15. Lucky. 15?
Unless you want to add my circumstance bonus for like hearing stuff.
Sure.
17.
At that moment, next to you, you're looking over there. I'm sure you take a look when you came over there. There's all sort of brush. A tiny fox comes out of nowhere and just pounces at you. And you are flat-footed. Here comes a jaw attack. 20 to hit.
Yes, that hits.
You take 5 points of piercing damage.
Five?
As this little tiny fox, let's put him on the map, comes pouncing out towards you.
It's tiny?
It's tiny. Well, it's
small.
Small?
Small. It actually is tiny.
Tiny? That's 5 points.
Hey, you want to see what it looks like?
Aww.
Aww.
Isn't it cute?
Aww. That is pretty cute.
It's just going, foaming at the mouth as it chews on your
it's
leg.
It's foaming at the mouth? Fuck, rabbit I got rabies.
Oh, wait, and because you were flat-footed, you also take sneak attack damage.
Oh, my God.
And another 5 points of sneak attack.
I'm down. I had 10 points left.
I don't get it, man.
I don't have really any, don't I can't get an attack of opportunity. I can't get anything on this fucking fox that comes out of nowhere.
No, because
and gets two attacks
it's
off.
It's stealthed past your perception DC.
17?
Yeah, I rolled a nat 17 on my stealth. They're very stealthy little foxes. All right, so
just on the plus side, you don't have to worry about the shillelagh.
Think about the good side of failure.
On the plus side,
maybe it'll all work out.
I get to leave. Because I'm done.
That's true.
For the day.
Because you were wounded one, you go straight to
dying two. On the plus side, I get to get on the bus right now and go home.
There was a way that, like, if I hadn't have stealthed up to you, it wouldn't have done the sneak attack damage, but it did. And then it will... it sees Talitha there.
I'm down. I'm hanging up the bridge.
Oh, that's
it,
right.
It didn't see me at all.
Just looking past you. What's going on over there? And it goes back into the brush and disappears.
make sure you're doing all the movement right. You can't move at your full speed when you're stealthing. I think it's half speed, maybe. You're fine with all that?
Yeah.
You had all that movement?
Mm-hmm. All right, let me just put Fox... Put him on the initiative tracker.
Round
7. Brother Ramius.
I'm sorry. He keeps saying it to himself, and he's just going to look up, and he knows Zephyr's okay now. He doesn't know anything about Lucky or anything. He's just going to start climbing the rope. He's got to try to get back up.
Okay. You get 10 feet away from the top, and then double all move. Another 10 feet.
Uh-huh.
And then you still have one more action to pull yourself back into the roof.
He pulls himself back in. Okay. And starts to reset himself now back on solid ground.
Has no idea what just happened to Talitha and...
No, his Lucky. Eyes are set with determination, and so he's going to go run to the bridge that's definitely still there on the other side. This whole thing is so fucked, dude.
Yeah.
It really is the perfect storm of fucked. That moment when you killed the Oak Steward and shut the door, I thought, like, oh, I was trying to draw you out there to get the trap. And when that didn't happen, I was like, oh, I wonder if that'll come back into play.
It did.
And here we are. It is Lucky. Actually, no, Lucky, you're going to move in the initiative order pretty far.
To dead.
We'll just move you to dead. No, you're dying too. So a critical failure on your death roll would kill you. It is Talitha's turn.
Talitha will delay.
It is now Zephyr's turn.
Come on.
First action, as Zephyr is, like, grounding her feet into the ground to, like, aim in her monastic archer stance, she also, like, I don't know, man, like, some magical aura comes out of her hand wraps, maybe. She's casting Keystrike. One action. Second action, Flurry of Blows.
Yes.
With my bow.
Okay.
Here we go. With my key strike, I get a +1 status bonus on my attack rolls with the Flurry of Blows.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Crushing
on
it all day.
Let's
do this. Get.
You're so due for this.
My heart is like in my butt right now. Just like,
it's not where it should be.
Sounds unhealthy.
Not where it
feels unhealthy.
Poop out your heart.
20 to hit.
Hit.
Yes!
And then because I hit, oh my God, I've never hit with this before. Hold on, let me go back to Keystrike. I'm shaking. So I get a +1 status bonus, my attack rolls, and when they hit, my strikes deal 1d6 extra damage.
Nice.
So that means 1d6 plus 1d8.
Plus whatever your attack bonus, do you have an attack a bonus?
Not a bonus for my longbow.
No.
4 points of damage.
Okay.
All right.
You have more?
Yes,
more.
Yes. It's fine.
All right. Two. Ooh, natural 18. So there that's a go. 22 to hit.
That's yes. another hit.
Okay.
And then same deal, extra d6 with my d8. 5 points of damage.
5 points of damage. What else you got?
All right, so that was two actions. I'm like,
you strike flurry of blows.
And
you see him, the first one hit him, and then the second one, boom, and he's just like, spits up blood.
Go for that natural hit
him,
20.
Hit him again.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to hit again with my longbow for my worst map, but I'm just trying to make sure with my key strike, if I still get the plus one, if I make an unarmed attack strike or flurry of blows, but unarmed attack strikes when I'm in monastic stance apply
yes.
to yeah. my bow, so I feel like I still get the plus one.
Yeah, this is your deal.
So rather than... Okay.
Come so on. Only, come on, Zephyr!
So that means... Wait, what does that mean? I was just so much math. It's like minus 10, then plus 1. Okay.
That's
so it's
nine.
Minus 9. Natural 2.
Oh,
it's not a natural 1.
Okay.
Look
okay.
on the bright side.
Yeah.
Very bright.
So he's hit by the first arrow, kind of shrugs it off. The second one hits, though, right afterwards. And he just coughs up blood. He looks over and sees Lucky dying there. Doesn't know her name is Lucky. But sees her dying.
He'll never know mine.
Didn't even bother to learn her name.
Sees
Talitha will act.
Okay.
I will call it a... Hey, Bolon! Bolon! Is this what it comes to? You're bullied as a child, and then you just try to destroy the whole world? I'm going to try to draw him to me, and then I'm going to start to climb up.
You're going to start to climb?
I'll make that a demoralize. Why not?
Okay.
14. I'm assuming it does nothing, but I want him to know I'm still alive and I'm coming for him, and he should come out and get me.
What do you know of my life?
Well, we know a lot.
You know nothing! You know nothing of what it's like to be me!
You think you're the only one who was teased as a child, you chump!
He looks down and sees Zephyr with the bow trained on him, looks down at his wounds, looks over at Buggles swinging there, who's just firing spells up at him, sees Lucky dead, hears this voice, sees you climb up, looks around, realizes he has no allies, and says,
"There's no need for anyone else to die here! Perhaps we can talk!"
And we'll see you next week.
Oh, I think we did it!
Yes!
We can lure him in with the promise of conversation, then murder him!
But right. Will Lucky survive?
Well, that's true.
A critical failure
of course
on
you
Lucky's
will.
Role.
I got you.
I got you!
Herma.
How are you going to get there?
Death!
Got this. I have a way.
I trust in Joe O'Brien.
Matthew. As Troy always says.
He trusts his
life gut. Finds a way.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Happy New Year.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.